Hi, Sue Hall here. It's 2021, and welcome to the first podcast in our fourth series, which is entitled People of Passion, and we're talking the dis out of dyslexia. These podcasts are hosted by the Whole Dyslexic Society. On March 27th, 2021, TEDx Bear Creek Park live streamed 12 talks, and I was privileged to be one of the speakers. I met some incredible individuals who created an incredible team, and I'm delighted to have them with us in this series. Now, the fun part for me is that our co-host, Tristan, is turning the tables on me, and he will be doing the interviewing. So welcome, Tristan.
Yes, it's been a while since we spoke. It'll be nice to catch up. So I guess my first question is, what made you decide to pay for a TEDx?
Yeah, I often wonder that, whether it was a really good idea or not. But to be honest, giving a TED talk has always been on my bucket list. I've given a number of talks to Pro-D gatherings, to free information sessions, and it's wonderful to be able to connect with a group of people, however small or however large, but to get this message out and to have the opportunity of reaching a very much larger audience was the pull for me. I really wanted to be able to get our information to a lot of people around the world.
And did you feel like you were able to get that? Was that accomplished?
Well, looking at the is it the follows or the like? I think we're up to 1.8K.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
And this is the middle of June. So I think that's pretty cool. Nice.
And what was the application process like?
Well, I'd heard about TEDx Bear Creek Park from a friend of mine who was a speaker the year before. And so I found the website and they asked you to submit a script. And it had to be, I think it was 1,400 words. And apparently they got about 60 scripts and they whittled them down to 24. And I was lucky. I was even just surprised to be one of the 24. The 24 people were asked to speak their script to a panel and they were going to whittle them down to 12. And I was even more surprised when I got to be one of those 12. And then this amazing machine kicked in. I was astounded at the organization part. We were always told what was happening. The communication was amazing. We had incredible coaches. We had a script coach, a core message coach, a beginning and an end coach, a humor coach, a presentation coach.
Oh, wow.
Wow, indeed.
Yeah. What a process.
It was huge. We had to deliver our talk twice, reading it to our coach and two other coaches, I think it was. And then we had to deliver it a second time. We were able to read it at that stage. Right. But then as soon as we'd done that twice, then we had to memorize our script. And you will know that memorizing is not really our thing. And that was really, really difficult. And we had to do that at least two more times. And then one of the coaches organized us to give the speech to a group of Toastmasters. I think we did that twice with different groups. And then we had to give it to a group of past speakers. So it was a very, very big deal.
It sounds like it had to go through quite a lot of hoops.
Well, the original script changed completely.
Right. Well, how many times would you say did the original script change?
I mean, it changed dramatically in as much as I had sort of written a script which was like facts. It's a little bit more like the talk that I would give it to Pro-D, dyslexia is this, 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 and this. But I was told that people will listen to a story much more than they'll listen to a whole bunch of facts.
Yeah.
Apparently, all your brain lights up when you hear a story, but only a part of your brain lights up when you hear all these facts. And so I had to change the script completely to be able to tell three stories, which I did. So that was a major change. And then each time we delivered it to someone, our own coach would get hold of us and say, maybe this needs to be a little bit more positive or that needs to be turned around. It changed nearly every time we delivered it. In fact, it got to a point once I was talking to, in this series of podcasts, you'll hear my own coach, Wendy LaRue. And I said to her at one point, I said, I am not changing this one more time. It's done, finished.
You just have to finally say, I'm done.
Enough.
Well, that must have felt pretty stressful. What was that like, having to go through all of that to get ready? Was any of the original script still there?
In essence, but probably not in words, I would think. And frankly, it felt like boot camp, honestly. I mean, in the nicest possible way, all the coaches were amazing. Many of them are Toastmasters, and Toastmasters have a wonderful way of giving you feedback. They give you a little bit of positive feedback, and then they give you a little bit of a tweak, and then they give you a bit more positive. So it's all done beautifully, and I don't think anybody ever got upset. And sometimes our fellow speakers would email us afterwards and say, I really like that bit. But it was terrifying, and it was something that I'm very grateful for.
And were the results what you wanted them to be?
That's a good question. I am very, very happy that when it actually went out, do you think I'm going to back up a little bit? Because when we'd done all this preparation, we then had a dress rehearsal, although obviously with COVID, we couldn't have an audience and so on, but the actual filming needed to be filmed live. And they were wonderful. This team had arranged this beautiful stage with the round red carpet. And if anybody watches the talk, they'll see that there were some trees to the right of me, which honestly and truthfully couldn't have worked in better for my talk scene as I was talking about fishing.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So that was just perfect. So it was wonderful to have the dress rehearsal. We had to wear what we were going to wear. We had to obviously say what we were going to say. But the tricky part was there was never an audience other than maybe four or five people, all with masks, right? And for me, that's a tricky one because I love feeding off the audience. I love seeing their faces. I love seeing the smiles or the nods or the puzzled expressions. And it helps when you're talking like that.
It gives you that audience feedback, that audience relationship. And well, I guess that must have made you feel a little disconnected for sure. Yeah.
But then the best part of it was having to do the actual filming the next week. At least you knew where you were going and you knew how long it was going to take to get there and all that sort of thing. So that was good.
Okay, good.
So that helped a little bit. And so I'm getting back to, was I pleased with the result? I messed up four times when I was being filmed, and I'm delighted with the result because this wonderful man called Trevor, who was the film person, he managed to take film from all different angles. And every time I messed up, he changed the angle and then put the film together. So you'd never know.
Oh, wow. It sounds like you feel pretty good about it.
Well, to be honest, you can prepare for this. You can have your speech. I mean, I used to wake up in the mornings and it was in my head and I would be saying it while I was having a shower and I would be saying it while I was walking the dog and I knew it end to end. I could have probably done it backwards, right? But nothing prepares you for the moment when you step on that red carpet and you have to open your mouth. And you know that as soon as you open your mouth, you can't stop.
Yeah.
That's it. And the nerves are unbelievable.
If you ever get invited to do another one, you know how to do it then.
Well, that was the funny part because it was terrifying beyond belief. But this is really weird, and I don't know why I even thought it. I got off the stage, and as soon as I got off the stage, I thought, I know exactly what to talk about next time. And I thought to myself, why would you put yourself through this again?
Do you have a favorite from your fellow TEDxers?
Oh, that's really a difficult question. They were all so amazing, and to learn from each one of them was really quite wonderful. There were one or two that really stood out for me. There was a doctor, Dr. Brendan Tang, and I was so much in line with what he was saying because he was talking about this assembly line medicine, then it doesn't really benefit anybody, especially not the patients. And so that really resonated with me, and he did a very good job of his presentation. There was a young lady who's 15. She's going to be on our series. And she wanted the voting age to be reduced to 16. And when I heard that was the title of her talk, I thought, nah, that's ridiculous. But honestly, she made such a good case for the voting age coming down to 16 that she really surprised me. And I was beyond impressed with how professional she was. It was very interesting.
I'm kind of curious about that now. I may have to just go watch it because I want to ask, what was the argument? Maybe I should just go see it.
Absolutely. Grace Sinatz, and she's going to be on our podcast series.
And where can people find your TEDx video?
You can go to YouTube and type in Sue Blythe Hall, B-L-Y-T-H, Hall, I had to use my middle name because there's another Susan Hall out there who talks about dyslexias. And it's also on our website, www.thewds.org. But this is one of the fun things that happened just this last week. A person in Australia heard it, and he is part of the Australian Dyslexia Association, and he wrote a letter to the association for their newsletter, and they published it. And he was very happy to hear what I said, because he said, thank goodness she's not doing the usual. You know how we often get patted on the head and said, oh, don't worry, you can't read, we'll find something you're good at. He just said, thank goodness she didn't do that. And he wrote a very lovely article. And that made me very happy, because it wasn't me blowing my trumpet. It was somebody else being happy with the talk. And the fact that it was in the Australian Dyslexia Association, I mean, touch wood, that will reach quite a few people too.
It's really good to hear that it's getting out to people like that. And hopefully the TEDx will draw more people to understand what dyslexia really is. Like you say, we're all learning abled. It's just sometimes we learn differently.
And through the organization, I met somebody called Tom Dutter, and I know you love your podcasts. Now, this gentleman is called The Quiet Warrior, and he interviewed me for his podcast. He has a very interesting story. He's had quite the journey in his life, so we should ask him.
It's good that a positive word is coming out on it, because it's hard to understand, especially for younger people. Maybe this TED Talk can reach them in some way and give them a positive look on themselves.
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful that TED has this incredible reputation, that they're well respected. They do a lot of fact checking, so yeah, they won't let anything go out unless they're really happy with it. It's a well respected platform, and it's just an honor, really, to be able to be part of that and to be coached to the extent that we were coached. I hope that the listeners might watch the whole event. They can go to www.TEDxBearCreekPark. If they wanted to see the whole event, there were some fabulous speakers, and all of them had the passion about what they do. And hence we're calling this series People of Passion.
So I guess to wrap it up, what's your passion?
I have worked with the most incredible children and adults for the last 22 years. And I have not yet met one of those students who was not able to learn. And the fact that they are labeled learning disabled is something that I really can't tolerate. It just has to stop. And people absolutely have to know that we are totally capable of learning. We simply don't learn the way we're taught. And all of the children who are going into school at the moment, they all deserve an equal opportunity. So if we can get this information out, even if it only sows a seed, that's my passion. And that's what we're going to keep going. And we're going to continue to try and get these methods into school to give everybody that cognitive equal opportunity.
Hopefully that can get accomplished.
Oh, we will. You're part of it.
Exactly.
You're part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being part of this, Tristan. And if the listeners would like to get hold of us, again, www.thewds.org. And if you want to email us, info@thewds.org. And please come and join us for this full series, because we do have some exceptional people, exceptional speakers and coaches, and lots of fun was had in the making of these podcasts. I hope you all sit back and enjoy. Thank you.